Now, the rest of the story. There was something about the family's passports that did not satisfy the German border guard. It was then that wife Laura observed something in her husband's face that she had never seen before, fear. In times of crisis, he had always been the calm, reassuring one, but now for the first time his eyes were grim and his thin lips were tightly pressed together so that they almost disappeared. To flee fascist Italy, they must go through Nazi Germany, and with each agonizing moment their prospects seemed to fade. Austria had been gobbled up by Hitler months previous. Here at the Brenner Pass, the train has stopped for examination. The Italian guards had glanced at the family's passports, had returned them perfunctorily, but when Laura's husband Enrico handed them to the German guard, they were scrutinized more carefully. They were not handed back. Had the guard suspected what the family had sought so desperately to conceal? That although Enrico was a Roman Catholic, his wife Laura was a Jew. And only that summer Mussolini had launched his anti-Semitic campaign, the Manifesto della Razza. The dictator had called the accompanying document. It was an absurd conglomeration of scientific jargon and faulty racial history. In any case, because Jews were deemed not to belong to the Italian race, now they were subject to new laws, new rules, new directives which issued forth from the Italian government on what seemed a daily basis. Jewish children excluded from public schools, Jewish teachers dismissed. Jewish professionals could deal with Jewish clients only. Marriages between Italians and Jews forbidden. Jewish passports revoked. No exceptions. And so Enrico and Laura decided that if it were at all possible, they must take their two young children and flee the country before it was too late. Well, thanks to an influential friend, the record of Laura's Jewishness was removed from her passport, and yet the family must leave now or risk discovery of the deception. And now, here they are aboard a train at the Brenner Pass. Their destiny lay in the hands of one German guard, who, after a lengthy perusal of the passports, turned to Enrico and asked, where was their visa from the German consulate? Feigning nonchalance, Enrico pointed out the visa to the guard, and the guard saluted and smiled. The train was on its way. Well, needless to say, Enrico and Laura would not return to their homeland, but would proceed to Sweden and from there to the United States, which became their new home. And it was a great good fortune for them, for the Italian Jews who did not burn were subsequently deported to labor camps and death camps as well. And America's fortune was great also for the scientist who did not return to Italy from Sweden with the Nobel Prize he had been awarded. That scientist and his family settled in the United States. And in the United States 4 years later, he led a team of scientific colleagues as they, at the University of Chicago, created the first ever self-sustaining nuclear chain reaction. That meant the first controlled release of nuclear energy. That ushered in the age of the atom. Now, history books tell us that because of one physicist named Enrico Fermi, the United States was the first nation in the world to possess the atomic bomb. Well, that is so. Only now you know the rest of the story.